Okay, we're doing Simen Shin Chav Tes Halacha Ches, but before we get to actually reading it, it's going to take me a page till we get to reading it. Okay, our topic today is Nudel Kugel. I always thought about this topic as Yerushalmi Kugel, but it's really any Nudel Kugel. Okay, so we're going to find out there's going to be seven different parts of the Shaila. Three of them are like really the main part, and then other parts that are sort of like ancillary. Okay, and the first is like this. I don't know if it is or it's not a coincidence, but all the poskim who speak about this, this is a very modern child, all the poskim speak about this in the past 20, 30 years, all live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? I don't know if that is or is not a coincidence, but we're going to see, or we would see, yeah, we'll see in Simen Shin Lamed, that, as you well know, you only chayav in a fashas chal if the dough was owned by a yid at the time that you mix the flour in the water. Okay? That's the only time you chayav in a fashas chal. So, therefore, if you have a company here in Chicago owned by someone who's not Jewish who makes the noodles, or makes the noodles that will eventually become a noodle kugel, there's obviously no shechiva for shechala because it was owned by a kohi. Okay, so and when you mix the flour and the water together, that's when the decision time is made. If it wasn't owned by yid, then you're not chayiv. So potentially, in Eretz Yisrael, you could be chayiv. Okay, they tell me that now the Israeli companies actually don't make their pasta in Eretz Yisrael. They actually make it out of Eretz Yisrael, in which case they're in the same boat as we are. I'm coming to that. But be'etzem, it should it only negate to someone who owns, if it's owned by a yid when you mix the flour and the water together. Okay, now what happens if a Jew goes to a guy and says, "Can you make noodles for me?" So obviously it'll depend on the details of their relationship of who owns it at which point. My suspicion is that in most cases, the yid doesn't own it until they turn into good noodles and puts them into his bags. Okay, if the company mixes flour and water together and they don't come out right, who lost the money on that thing? Well, hurry, the company.
It doesn't show that noodles kind of power,
right? We'll talk about that. We can talk about that in a second. But the whole shilat of even getting to the... Whatever we're going to talk about... Whatever we're going to talk about is only going to be in a gay if at the time you mix the flour and water together, it was owned by a yid. Okay, so the only case I could come up with that it would... So to speak, for sure be, I mean, of course, if you don't own the company, that would be the case. But it is like this. If it's the middle of the winter, and somebody wants to make Yashin noodles, so then the yid's going to send his flour to the company and say, "This is my Yashin flour that I put away. Can you go ahead and turn these into noodles for me?" Then we have a case where then it belongs to the yid from the get-go, okay, when the flour and the water are mixed together. Okay, but my guess is that if Mr. Kemach or Mr. Geffen goes to a company and says, "Make me noodles," they don't own the noodles until after they're ready formed. Okay, at the time when they made them, the hire belongs to the company. When they're made and they're ready to put in my bags, at that point it'd be mine, in which case the whole thing has nothing to talk about. Okay, so it wouldn't be a shayla. It couldn't be possibly anything of the rest I have to say, Megea, in that kind of case.
So last week I visited a noodle factory.
Okay.
Could be it's Jewish owned. So this would be Negea.
We're going to come back. Right. We're now going to talk about the noodles and then noodle kugel. Okay, we'll start with the noodles and then the noodle kugel. Okay, but yes, it would potentially be Negea to noodles. Correct. Okay, we're really talking about noodle kugel, but noodles is the one part of the channel. Okay, now, the next thing is, the last two halachas in Shin Chav Tes, which we're not going to read, that's after this, is Tes and Yud, the last two halachas here, say that the din is that if you make a dough without any water in it, okay, you use May Paris, okay, you mix flour with May Paris, that is chayav in Rosh Hashanah. It's chayav in Rosh Hashanah, just like if you mix it with water. Okay? Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because when you make regular noodles, are made of flour and water. Okay, but the noodles that are used for kugel noodles are egg noodles. Okay, come on, every egg noodle has no water in it. It's just flour and eggs in it. Okay, I've been poking around packages recently. Okay, they come out, none of them have water in them. So when you make flour and eggs, is an example of it is chayav in Rosh Hashanah. I'm just mentioning it. It's going to. You'll hear the significance in a minute. But it is chayav in Hafarshas Shechala, as I can say, the last two dinim in the sim here. There's questions of how you do the Hafarshas Shechala. It's a little more complicated. But they are chayav in Hafarshas Shechala, even though there's no water mix in them. Okay? Okay, so now, before we get to the noodle kugel, there's a shayla in itself. What you had just mentioned, is there a chayav Hafarshas Shechala on noodles themselves? The company that makes just noodles, okay, would they be chayav in Hafarshas Shechala or would they not be chayav in Hafarshas Shechala? Okay, that question, that's not a new shayla at all. We talked about it, not just because we talked about it a few weeks ago, but because we're starting to talk about it, called Isis Lakshin, okay, when you make a dough in order to turn it into Lakshin, as you may remember, Isis Lakshin is the case, is one of the cases that's the Machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash. Okay, we talked about at the beginning of the Siman, that the Rash says if a person makes dough in order to make it into Lakshin, what he's gonna do at the end is cook it. Okay, you're gonna take the noodles and you're gonna cook them in a pot. They're never gonna be baked into a bread. Then the Rash says you're not having a Farsha Schala.
Are they baked in the factory?
They're dry. No, they're not baked, they're dry. They're with warmth to dry them out. That's not considered baking. So the plan is to take the lakshin and go ahead and cook it. Since the Rash says that Isis lakshin is potter from Farsha Schala, that's a Mechara Paskin at the beginning of the Siman. Rabbi Natan.
They're not edible for the package.
No. The section is pre-cooked, but no. Regular Paskin is not.
Pre-cooked are cooked or baked?
I believe they're cooked. My impression is they're cooked. I'm not sure. Okay, but so the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like the Rash, almost everybody passes like the Rash, that Isis lakshin is not chayav in Farsha Schala. However, the Shach brought the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, as you remember, when he brought Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, if you made a blila ova, then you chayav in a farsha schala. Doesn't make a difference what you're planning on doing with it afterwards. Okay, that's what Rabbeinu Tam. So the Shach says you should be machmir for that Rabbeinu Tam. Now, as we mentioned then, the simple reading of Rabbeinu Tam, which is how the Mordechai reads, is that means mamish anything. You make blila ova, you're always chayav in a farsha schala. That was the simple reading. However, Rabbeinu Yonah learns not like that. The Daki Moshe brings us Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chazanish stuff like that. There were many who said that Rabbeinu Tam didn't really mean what everybody thinks he means. Okay, and according to their understanding, Isis Lakshin would be potter from our Farsha Schala also. Okay, because if you remember, I'll say you in short, in case of Isis Lakshin, the thing you're going to make is not going to have Teresa than Hama, and therefore would not, even Rabbeinu Tam agrees it doesn't have a Farsha Schala. Okay, we talked about this some time back. Okay, so, before we go on, at this point, if you heard so far, I said it really quickly, what we spoke about, this Rash and Rabbeinu Tam, from the beginning of the Siman, according to the Rash, Isis Lakshin by itself would be potter from Farsha Schala. According to the Rash, it would be potter from Farsha Schala. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it would depend. If you learn like the Mordechai, then it would be chayav in Farsha Schala. If you learn like the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is what the Rama says and what the Chazanish says, it would be potter from Farsha Schala. Okay, so sure seems like it should be potter from Farsha Schala, both according to the Rash and even according to Rabbeinu Tam. I'm going to say that very quickly. Okay, now, so then, we would say, it's kamat not possible that the pasta by itself, like in his case, the noodles themselves should be chayav in Farsha Schala. However, that's all true for a regular noodle company. Okay, that's maybe even true for a company that makes egg noodles. Again, what we're headed to the kugel, egg noodles, a not Jewish company, a regular company is making egg noodles. Okay, when we have a company that's making egg noodles, a Jewish company makes egg noodles, I think the thing should be different. And why is that? And the reason is like this. Part of my survey was, what do people do with egg noodles besides to make kugels out of them? Okay, what do they do with them? Okay, so there's all types of recipes that use egg, I found out, use egg noodles, you put them into soup, you make different kinds of casseroles, so there's things that you can make with these egg noodles. Okay, so when a regular national brand in America makes egg noodles, what's going to happen to those egg noodles? Okay, it's a plain old Isis Lakshin. Okay, they're making noodles, they may be egg noodles, but they're making noodles that are going to be Lakshin. That's what they're going to be with them. Okay, and therefore, it's totally this Machlokes, and seemingly everyone would be makel that you do not need to be Mafresh Chala. When a Jewish company, if Mr. Kemach has his own factory, what's going to happen to the egg noodles that he makes? So it's true, some of the people are going to use them to turn them into soup noodles and things like that, but a huge amount of the people are going to turn them into kugel. That's what they are. Okay, from a Jewish company's perspective, these are kugel noodles. These are not egg noodles that happen to have a little bit of a different shape. They're not just different than regular pasta. These are kugel noodles. Okay. Every yid has, most yidn have kugel on Shabbos, so it's a common michel for people to make. When Mr. Geffen is making egg noodles, he's making it because the bulk of the people, a lot of people are going to buy it, are going to turn it into kugel. That's a big part. I'm not saying nobody turns it into the other thing, but when Mr. Ronzoni makes it into them, there's a very tiny amount of people who are not Jewish who are making it into what we would call a kugel. Okay, that's not a common thing in their world. And culturally, that's for us, that's a common food, and for them it's not. So for us, when a Jewish company is making it, all of a sudden, even according to the Rash, again, assuming that the kugel is going to be chayav in Farsha Schala, that's what we're coming to, assuming the kugel itself will be chayav in Farsha Schala, this is not Isis Lakshin, this is not an Isa that's being made with the intention of only cooking it, of never turning it into lechem. No, this is an Isa which is being made with the intention to turn it into kugel, and if it's true, it's a big if, but if it's true that the kugel is considered lechem, then it's being made with the intention to turn into lechem.
Okay, it's not cooked first.
It's
when I get the noodles from the kemach, it's
No, it's just dried out. They mix flour water, they extrude it into a shape, you know, they made it to the shape, and they dry it out just to get off the moisture.
Then you cook the
noodles,
and
then
you make noodles.
No. If you're making kugel,
you
cook the noodles. Yeah.
Right,
yeah, I'm gonna talk about that in a second. So that's part of our question. We're gonna talk about that in a second. Because you didn't take a survey. Yes, that's part of why we surveyed it. Is that I forgot the number of a very hard percentage completely cook it, and some people mostly cook it. Okay. Almost nobody. There was almost nobody who doesn't cook it at all. Yeah, I have to look back on my numbers to see the. Okay. So my point is that when you're talking about egg noodles, and I told you the only egg noodles we're really talking about are the noodles that are made by a Jewish company that makes them, okay, or else it wouldn't be Shiloh for Fresh Shalom anyhow. That company who's making it, not Jewish company, a guy who happens to be Jewish because, you know, his mother's mother was Jewish. I'm talking about someone who's making it for a Jewish market. Okay, if Mr. Geffen has a factory where he makes kugel noodles, those are not being made only to be used in soup. He's making those to be used in kugel, and if it will be true that kugel is considered lechem, it's not Isis Lakshan, it's Isis that will be made cooked into lechem. On the other hand, Mr. Ronzoni, when he makes his kugel noodles, his egg noodles, he's not making them for kugel, he's making them for people to use in soups for chayina. And so then for him, it's back to the shiloh of the Rashi being a tam, in which case he would not be chayav first tam. Yes.
And if he's making it as a private label, which likely he is, you take into account that the workers, the owner of the company,
If they make the private label and the private label owns it, like for, I guess if he sends in his Yashin flour, okay, to make them the noodles out of it, it would depend on him. You know what I mean? If it came out, in which case it would be.
Well, let's say the national company, which happens to be owned by Yid, and doing the private label
right.
The Kamas.
Just randomly. Just randomly happens. Worked to a company. It happens to be owned by a Jewish person. So when he makes his private label for
Kama,
then we have the potential. We're not talking anymore about his luck anymore.
That's why you're saying that they're making aldas and kugels.
Yeah.
Yossi's pointing out probably is not true.
Why? They're making for the customer. They're making for Mr. Kama.
Yeah, but they make egg noodles for whole world.
Okay, so in that
they
case,
but they make for one private label for a year.
Okay, so we could talk about that. Okay, fine. Okay, so now that we've cleared some of these beginning questions. Okay, now we have three main reasons, three main points as to why the kugel itself might or might not be considered lechem. Okay, and it might not be something that could be chayav and chal. Okay? The first is, that's what I'm doing this about. When you cook the noodles, okay, you cook them and then you're going to bake them afterwards. When you cook the noodles first, it's not lechem at that point. Okay, that's it. Then, if you cook dough, that's not considered lechem. Okay? The question is like this. What about if you cook the dough and then you bake it afterwards? Which is how do you make kugel? You cook the dough, then you form it into the, you put it into the pan the way you want it, and then you bake it. So that's our din. It's actually a Mishnah. Okay? The Mishnah has two cases. Ha-mi'isa v'ha-chalita. Okay? Mi'isa means is that you put flour into boiling water, and chalita means you put boiling water into flour. I hope I didn't.
Mi'isa, how do you spell?
Mem, ayin, samachay. Sometimes with the yid in the builder. I may have confused those, but I think I got those right. That mi'isa means you put the flour into the water, to the boiling water, and chalita means you put the boiling water onto the flour. So there's a Mishnah has a machlokes about that. Okay, there's a whole gemara to understand even what the machlokes is. Okay, it's a little complicated. But I'll read to you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's the easier way to say it. Isa sheni lersha b'mayim roistim. If you made a dough with boiling water, Ben Shinas and Roisin like Abi Kemach, Ben Shinas and Kemach for Roisin, whether you did either one, Mi'isa or Chalita, both cases, when you put the boiling water into the dough, into the flour, or the flour into the boiling water, Chayavis, it's Chayavin Afarsh Eschala, Ben Shinef of a Tanner, or Be'ilfas Boi Mashke, whether you baked it in a Tanner, in a traditional way, or Be'ilfas Boi Mashke, or you did it in a pan, that has to do with the Rav Yechon and Shabbos we talked about this, all the kind of funny cases of when you Chayav, you're always Chayav. If you bake it afterwards, you cooked it, you the mi'ish or chalita, and then you baked it, it's chayav nefarshas chala.
It's not exactly the case.
Because?
You're discussing you put flour into boiling water. Here you put cold water, you make a dough, and then you take the dough.
That's correct. So modern contemporary parties can say that they think it's the same thing. Well, it should be the same thing. The question is whether cooking followed by baking is the same as just baking. Does the cooking side of it say that it was not that? Now, what's not clear in the Mishnah is, and even in the din here is, how much effect did that hot water have on this dough or on the flour? Is the machlokes, is there din here about where it just cooked it partially, like a bagel? Okay, bagel is you take flat, you make dough, and you dunk it into boiling water for 30 seconds, and then you bake it. So the boiling water has a minimal effect on the dough. Is that where the din is, that baking makes it chayav nefashos challah? But if you would cook it thoroughly, then it would not be chayav nefashos challah. Or is the machlokes, even if you cooked it all the way through, okay, which of course is our case. Our case, where you make the kugel noodles, again, according to my survey, almost everybody cooks the noodles all the way. It's pretty easy to cook egg noodles. They cook really quickly. Almost everybody cooks it completely. So if you cook it completely, is that also the case with chayav nefashos challah? Or do you say, no, wait a second, if I cooked it all the way, it's a cooked food. Cooked foods are not chayav nefashos challah. The fact that I baked it afterwards is too late. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, so which one is it? It doesn't say in which case. It just says you did it with boiling water. Well, how much effect did the boiling water have? Okay. So it turns out that question that I just asked you is a machlokes in Yerushalmi. Okay. Yerushalmi has on this Mishnah has a machlokes. Which case is the Mishnah talking about? Again, the whole Mishnah is a very complicated Mishnah. The machlokes Reb Zeira and Reb Yosi, which case is it chayiv? Is it when it says you're chayiv in the Mishnah, does that mean you're chayiv even if you baked it, cooked it thoroughly? Okay, so the Ramban in Hilchos Challah, okay, the Ramban is Hilchos Challah, essentially passing like Reb Yosi. Okay, that it is chayiv. Even if you cooked it all the way through, it's chayiv nefashos challah. Okay, now, it's a little odd. The Marit Agazi on there speaks about how come the Ramban doesn't bring Yerushalmi. Okay, the Ramban is not shy about bringing Yerushalmi in Hilchos Challah. Lots of times, he quotes Yerushalmi regularly, obviously, it's Hilchos Challah. But he doesn't bring Yerushalmi over here. Marit Agazi, maybe he thinks it's arrived from the Bavli to that, maybe. And there's another oddity is that in the Ramban's pirush on Psachim, the Ramban seems to not see like a Rizzi. Okay, it's very unclear. But that in itself is enlightening to us because why is Ramban talking about it in Psachim? Okay, there's a stira in the Gemara in Psachim. Okay, one Gemara says there are three Gemaras. One Gemara in Psachim says, let's see if I can remember this straight. One Gemara says that Cholot is not chayiv nefashos challah. That's one Gemara. One Gemara says Cholot is lechem, but you can't use that to say it. And another Gemara, this is in Yevamos, says that it's lechem and can use it at the Seder. Okay, so all the Rishonim talk about this three-way stira. Is it not lechem at all? Is it lechem but you can't use it at the Seder? Or it is lechem and you can use it at the Seder? Okay, so the Ramban is answering that kasha, that stira, and he answers in a way that says, if you cooked it fully, you would not be chayav nefashos challah. All the other Rishonim answer not like that. A lot of the Rishonim, the Raivin and the Balmar and the Tysons, all answer the Shailin with that steer in a different way. And all, according to all of them, comes out like the Ramban says in Hilchos Hafrashos Challah, in Hilchos Challah, that says that if you cooked it all the way, it's still chayiv in Hafrashos Challah if you baked it afterwards. Okay? So again, the Ramban says it pretty clear in Hilchos Challah. Most of the Rishonim say it in this steer in Psachim, when they talk about the steer in Psachim, the Ramban in Psachim doesn't seem like that. But come on, everybody seems to be saying that Echayim Forshus Chal, there's a quote here from Rabbi Yashin. He says, if you're looking at Rabbeinu David in Psachim, Rabbeinu David is a Talmud of the Ramban. It's a Rishon, but he's a modern Rishon, you know, they just found him. So he says, the reason why, if you cooked it thoroughly, you don't need to do a Forshus Chal, is because Psachim. The reason why you don't need to do it is because Einafi Achabishal. I don't know if he uses exactly those words, but Einafi Achabishal. Okay, so Rabbi Yashin says, well, if that's the whole reason, because Einafi Achabishal, since we're machmir that Yeshafi Achabishal, Hilchos Shabbos, we're machmir for that shita, so therefore, that's why everybody disagrees, because we all disagree with that. Okay, whether all the Lashitas says work out, I'm not convinced, but that's what Rabbi Yashin has his way of saying. Okay, so most Rishonim seems to be pretty clear that if you cooked it thoroughly, and then you baked it, it's still chayiv, and seemingly, the Mechaber didn't tell us not like that. The Shulchan Aruch just said, if you put it into boiling water, he didn't say only this much. He said, no matter what, it's chayav nefashos challah. So that possible reason why the noodle cooker shouldn't be chayav nefashos challah is not going to help us. Okay? In other words, the fact that you cook the noodles first and then you bake it does not save it from being lechem. Okay? If you cook the noodles first and then you bake them afterwards, it's still potentially considered lechem. Again, we have two reasons to think about why it might not be.
Like a bagel.
It would be similar to a bagel. That a bagel, everybody knows, is lechem. You make hametz in it, and you mafer challah from it. So even if it was cooked thoroughly, that doesn't take away from the fact that it should be lechem. Okay, like a bagel. Okay. Next is, I've talked to you that this thing, this noodle kugel, is first you cooked it, and then you baked it. Okay. There's a question now, whether is it really baked? Okay. Is this the second cooking that you do to it, is that considered baking? Okay, there are those who argue They say, yeah, it's baked. Even though there's lots of liquid in the pan, okay, when you make a noodle, there's lots of liquid in the recipe. Okay, it's not a dry thing. It's not like putting a challah dough onto a tray. You know, there's lots of liquid into it. So they say, you know, the Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, when he's talking about cholut, the same thing, about cholut, he says, ma'at mashkin, shemoishkin boich ilfish, lo yusar fi isa, the little bit of oil, the pan, he doesn't have pan, but the pan that you spray on the pan to keep it from sticking, lo yimiki mashka. That doesn't make a difference. Don't count. You can ignore that. Don't worry about the fact that you put a little bit of oil to grease the pans. That doesn't count. That doesn't stop it from being considered baked. So they say, well, here also, a little bit of oil, that doesn't take it from being baked. So Diane Fisher has the truth about this. And he says, I don't know what to tell you. He says, go ahead and look. I'm going to tell you what he says. I'm not opinionated. I'm not right to have an opinion on this part. He says like this. I'll tell you my contribution to this. He says this, when you make menachos, there's a tosis that says, the Gemara says that menachos, you make hamaitzelim. Okay, but there's a tosis that says that in a certain type of minchas marcheshes, you don't make hamaitzelim. Okay, you make a mazonis on it. Because it's cooked and not baked. So he says, let's figure out how much oil there is in that minchas marcheshes. So he says, the amount of oil is relatively a small amount. Okay, I'll tell you the number here. I don't know if he says the numbers this way. The amount of oil is like this. Every mincha is made with one lug of shemen for every isaron of flour. Okay? One lug for each isaron. Okay, an isaron is a shir challah, 43.2 bayim. Okay? A lug is four reviyases. That's what reviyases is, or reviyas halug. Okay? So it's six bayim. Okay? So if you think about how much the ratio of flour to oil is a little bit more than 7:1. Okay? It's 43.2 to 6 is a little more than, it's 7.2:1. Okay? What?
What's the volume percentage?
7:1. Yeah. 7 flours to 1 oil. Okay? Okay, if you want to make that into a math problem, you figure it out. 12%. Okay. So it's 7.2:1. Okay? 7.2:1. Okay? To translate that into what we would be used to, if you take a 5-pound bag of flour, it would be 2 1/3 cup of oil. Okay, I'm trying to help you picture what that is. Okay, so I didn't make such a big mixture, but I went home and made that mixture. Okay, a ratio of 7.2:1. Okay, flour to water, flour to oil. Okay, the amount of oil is nothing. It's minuscule. Okay? It's relatively a tiny amount. You try it at home, you'll see, 7.2:1, and figure out how much it is. It's come out nothing. Okay, when I mix the oil into the flour, you could barely tell that there was anything into the flour. Okay? The flour sucks up a lot, oil sucks up lots of things. It sucks up the oil. You could barely tell that there was anything to it. So, Diane Fisher says, he says, well, if that little oil could qualify to be considered fried, okay, Tosa says that kind of minchas machesh is considered fried. He says, if that little bit could be considered fried, he says, for sure, the amount of oil that they put in to make kugels, for sure it's gonna be fried. And he says, like, we know that everybody throws in, he's in his words, 100 grams of oil into the pot as they're making the kugel. And he doesn't tell you how much kugel they're making, okay? But from our recipes that we got from people, okay, it's 100 grams is about just under a half a cup of oil. Okay? That's how much it works out to. And it's almost exactly the way everybody told me the recipes are. It was about a half a cup of oil for every pound of noodles. Okay, not everybody said that, but that was a pretty rough idea. And that amount, he's right. That's 50% more oil than would be in the way he made the recipe for Milchas Marcheshes.
So Milchas Marcheshes is supposed to be a deep fry. So that's very deep fry. Kids, that's what you teach your kids. You learn about Milchas.
Yes, yes.
I think of French fries sizzling in oil.
Masi.
What you're saying, it's basically.
That's where I'm lost. That's where I'm lost is because I can't argue with him as that how you make Milchas Marcheshes. Beyond me, how that could be Milchas Marcheshes, I'll tell you that in a second. Okay, I'll skip to that. Is when Rabbi Yashiv argues on that. He argues on that. He says, you know, Rashi says about Milchas Marcheshes, Rashi in the Gemara, says about Milchas Marcheshes is that it's called the Milchas Marcheshes from the Reish Ches Shin. Okay, Rachash is the same, what? From No, that's not what he says. That's not what he says. Rashi says it comes from the word, from the same word as sheretz, okay, which means is that when you touch it, it like moves around. It like moves around. I guess it's similar to the word Baruch Hashem. It like, when you push your finger down into it, like you would see the oil bubbling around. Like it's so moist that like when you touch it, like you think of when you touch a kugel recipe, you'd see the oil bubbling around. Okay? There's no way in the world that in this recipe you could see that. Okay? So I don't know what they do with each other. And again, I don't know enough about making a mincha, and I had the same question. Yeah, I gotta learn. Okay, so after I did this, I had the same question that Jesse did, which is, well, how on earth is this a mincha smachas? You can't possibly fry this thing in that much oil. There's nothing. You couldn't make anything in that much oil.
Even if the oil starts off on the bottom.
Not a chance. No, if you put that oil onto a pit, you try to put it onto a pit and then pour the flour on top of it, it'd be nothing. There'd be a drop of oil left. You couldn't fry it. So now, when I did the recipe with kugel noodles, I put the oil in the kugel noodles, you could feel a moisture on it. It felt like oily potato chips. Okay, it felt like something very greasy. You could feel a nice layer of oil on the outside of it. So at least I could imagine something that was fried. Okay, we could argue whether that is or is not fried. That was in the high, that's where dietitians is the way we put oil into the kugel. For sure it is. I made his mixture. And it was true. And it was taka. It came out greasy and oily. You could imagine someone calling that fried. How you could call the, I don't know how to answer his question. He says, look, that mechitz macheshes, Taisa says it's considered fried, so, which is true, Taisa says that. How on earth it makes sense, I don't have any idea. Okay, so, Rabbi Fati brings his own shikas and shikas. He brings from Dine Fisher, and he talks about it. He doesn't address what he said. He just says his own things. I have my own rights that there's really much more oil, and that the amount of oil we would put into a kugel is not enough to make it count as a, not enough to make it count as fried. It's what the Ramah says. If the Ramah says that if you put in just a tiny bit, it doesn't count. Okay, so he says no. He says from Rashi, no, it's not true. It's not. It is considered baked. And Dayan Fisher says it's not considered baked. And the norm to talk about it's not lechem. Okay.
He says the Machleshes was more.
Yeah, he brings from other. He brings from Rishonim talking about how much oil there was, talking about what the bracha is and rise it.
Do we know for a fact what the recipe was for Machleshes?
So this is where I'm stuck. Okay, this is where I'm stuck. The recipe for all minchas is one isarn for one book of shem. So now, but I'm missing something here because, like as he said, wait a second, a mincha soilus comes out looking like one thing, and this mincha is supposed to be an oily, greasy,
maybe
fried.
They put oil in the pan, fry it up, and then they put the mixture of flour and oil in it.
So I thought that also. I don't know anything about how to make a mincha. Didn't sound like that when I read in the Ram. The Ram sounded it was the same amount of oil. You didn't use it was like the extra oil you used for the frying, as if it wasn't separate oil. But I don't know. Okay.
Three times the oil.
But it was the same. The reading when I read. Okay, I don't know anything. When I read it, it sounded like it was the same oil. You used a little bit for here, a little here, and a little here. Not that you bring an extra oil from the outside. But maybe it is. Maybe I'm misreading it. Maybe it really is oil from the outside, which would make sense. It would make it sound like a mechuz macheshes if you put in extra oil. So maybe that's what I don't. Okay. Anyhow. So I just what I could stick in here is that there actually is such a question. We're only thinking about how much oil is in the pan when you start the baking. They're not talking about how much oil is left in the pan when you finished it. Okay, when you go tonight and you look at a piece of kugel, how oily is it when you're finished with it? Okay, at the end. So let's even say the beginning of the baking is so oily that it's considered to be fried. But is it still like at the end of the baking? At the end of the baking, does the kugel come out of the pan being so oily? So maybe we should say at the beginning it's considered fried, and then halfway through it turns into being baked. Okay, so I'm not sure about that. There's actually a shayla in Hilchos Hagodas Kalim. We spoke about then, I'm sure you'll remember. We spoke about then about there's a thing called the machlas, which has like that. It starts with a lot of oil and it ends up with less. It's all machlokes. That's what the din is in that case. I don't know why that's not being brought over here. Unless, who cares about the beginning there's oil? By the end, there's not oil. Not the kugels that I'm used to. This. By the time we're finished, the herd is being made. Okay. So we finished with our two of these possible reasons why it might not be lechem. But the last reason, which to me is the strongest reason why it might not be lechem, comes from, it's said over in the name of Rishon Zamarabach. Okay? I say it's said over because he definitely said something. Exactly what he said is not 100%. I'll read you the words that he says, and the Talmidim say this is what he meant, and it's very logical. It says like this. In Shmir Shabbos Kechasai, it says, when you go to a Kiddush, and you should make sure not to eat too much cake, because if you eat too much cake, then you're going to have to make hamotzi. Okay, you're going to have to make birchas hamazon on it. Okay, so it says, don't eat too much cake or kugel, because if you do, you're going to have to make hamotzi. Okay, make sure you don't eat, I'm not sure I'm saying exactly the right words, but essentially it says, don't eat too much cake or kugel, because or else you're going to have to make hamotzi. Okay, so there's a thin little third volume of Shmir Shabbos, where sometimes put in his corrections, and he says, take out the word kugel from that line. He says, you know, leave in the cake part, that was correct. Take out the kugel line. Too much means a certain amount that you have to make hamotzi for. Not important. He says, it's not true. He says, because, ki kugel hu ladaiti rak tavshol. Kugel is not lechem. No matter how much you eat of it, you can't make hamotzi. It's just a tavshol. And in the tshuva, he writes, he says, lamir is daiti nirish, a kol kugel choshev kastam itriot, that means noodles, v'lo lechem. Okay? He doesn't say why. Okay, but he says it's not. And as you may well know, the way people in the street say, that's the reason why they serve you Shan kugel and Kiddush and Eretz Yisrael, is because that way, no matter what, you won't have to make hamotzi. Okay? That's what they say. In America, they're big into cake, but if you eat too much cake, you're going to have to make hamotzi. So in Eretz Yisrael, they serve Yerushalmi Kugel as a way of making you not, no matter what, you don't have to make hamotzi. Okay, that's what Shem Zalman says. Now, what's the reason why it should be not lechem? Okay? So they say over from Tamidim, Rafati brings this from Tamidim of Shem Zalman. I've heard it elsewhere also, that the reason is because in order for something to be lechem, one of the criteria for being lechem is teresa dunahama. It has to have a tzuras hapas. It has to look like bread. So, he says is that when I finish making a kugel, it's true that it turns into a loaf, it turns into a one unit, but when you pick up this unit, you still see all the individual noodles are still floating around. Okay, they don't lose their identity and become this one big mass. They sort of become a mass, but the individual noodles are still visible. When you open up, you see all the noodles floating around. Isn't it? And therefore, when he says there's a kugel choshev kastam itriot v'lo lechem, he means is it looks like noodles, not bread, because you could still see all the individual stringy pieces into there. And therefore, that's not a teresa de nahama. That's missing teresa de nahama. Okay. Now he brings it up. Yashiv said not like that. Okay. Even though the Yerushalayim, he said not like that. But Rosh Hashanah said that it's not considered lechem because. The way we're saying it over, it's not considered lechem because it does not have teresa de nahama. That is to say, if it doesn't have teresa de nahama, you can have all the other qualifications, it's not going to be lechem, in which case there's no way that it can be chayav in the first time. Okay? So those were our three reasons. Okay, so now.
Sure.
One reason why it should not be considered lechem is because it was cooked first, and thoroughly cooking it, maybe thoroughly cooking something makes it not considered lechem, seemingly, almost all the Rishonim held that's not true. Even if you cook it thoroughly, the din is that it's considered lechem. The second reason was because maybe the oil that you put into it makes it be considered fried, or the liquid that's in there makes it be considered fried and not considered baked, in which case it can't be lechem either. Okay, that's seemed to be debatable, whether it is or is not true. And then the third reason was, maybe it has no teresa de nahama, the finished item, because you can see the individual noodles, doesn't look like a bread which becomes like this big loaf, instead it looks like just 1,000 noodles piled up.
According to Shlomo Zalman, it would need Bishri Yisroel.
According to Shlomo Zalman, if it's not lechem, it potentially means Bishri Yisroel, if you think it's a Lashon Wachim, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well we would require Bishri Yisroel even on pasta. So you need Bishri Yisroel even a step before you. So
even, that's less of an issue. It's not baked.
But what I'm saying, I mean, is that we consider that to be potentially other shochem lachem. So when you made the kugel noodles themselves, you were already chayav refreshes, you were already chayav bishri yisrael before you got to the stage of now I baked it into a kugel. It needed bishri yisrael the first step. Okay, so that was.
What do you do when you require bishri
yisrael? On cooked noodles. Yeah, most noodle factories are making raw noodles. But if you make cooked noodles, if a caterer makes cooked noodles, then.
But, I mean, I don't know if it shows a bit not silly by itself, but the ramen noodles. Potentially, if you give it to a stewardess to put in hot water, that would be a shalakim.
Okay, we took that. We took about that. Yeah, the
institution. Sure, that's not a lot of shalakim.
Right. Yeah,
noodles are. Yeah, but not such a dollar for some cuts.
What are
you doing?
Huh? So you mock cholesterol?
No, of course not.
Really?
Of course not.
Okay.
I understand that.
Okay. So last thing is like this. The last thing. Okay. Good. We're doing this afterwards. The last thing is like this. Let's say you disagree with all these things and you think that it is lechem. Okay. And it's going to be chayav nefashos chala when you make the noodle kugel. Okay. See, now, the question is like this. What happens if they did Hafrashas Challah at the noodle company? Okay. They did Hafrashas Challah way back in the beginning, as it seems that they used to do in Eretz Yisrael when they were making noodles there. They did Hafrashas Challah back then. Okay. Do you need to do... Now you went home and you took these noodles and you made kugel out of them. Okay. Do you need to do Hafrashas Challah again? Okay. So, Diane Fisher and Diane Rice both say, no, you don't need to do it. They say, the fact that you made kugel out of it, it's like a hurvah hadavar l'mafreya, that this isa was heading to become kugel, and if you hold that kugel needs hafrashas challah, if you hold like that, then, so therefore you're so to speak, chayiv now, these noodles were made with your intention in mind, the hafrashah was made then, it's good enough for now. Okay? I'm sort of skimming that shita. Okay? They say it's good enough. Okay, they have lots to say about why that should be good enough. Okay? And Rabbi Yashar says, no. He says, why was anybody mafresh challah back in the noodle stage? Because they're being choshish for one interpretation of Rabbi Natan. It's according to the Mordechai, the way he understands Rabbi Natan. He says, that's not the din. The din is like the Mechaber says, like the Rash. That you're not having, Isis Lakshah is not having a Mefarshas Challah. So you're just being Machmeh at that point to be Mefarshas Challah according to one Shita. So basically, you did nothing. Basically, you're being Machmeh for a Shita, one Tzad in the way to understand Rabbi Natan. That's not the din. So your Hafrashah then was a waste of time. But now, and now, so now when you come to see, now you're really chayiv in a farshas challah, so now you really have to be chayiv. Okay, so now.
I understand that the whole chayiv is that, because what I intended to do, what's going to happen when I mix the flour and the water.
No. When you did it originally, it was Rabbeinu Tam, who says, eat a blil ava, always eat a farshas challah. Make sense, what are you going to do with it afterwards? According to the way the Mordechai wants it. No matter what, when you make a blil ava, you must be farshas challah.
So we're not going with Rabbeinu.
No. When you were mafresh then, it's because of
Rabbeinu Tam.
Right.
So you want to say, but you have to be mafresh now, because why?
Even
Rabbeinu Tam.
Even that.
It's only because I say that now it goes back to that, it remains, that was the intention of the
flow. No, it wasn't my intention.
That's
what the Rosh says. If you start off with something, you have and then tend to do it this way, and then you change your mind, and you decide to make lechem out of it, then you are chayav mafresh challah now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what the Rosh says. Later, you become chayav mafresh challah. Okay, so I have to just remind you to just keep cheshbon here. Rabbi Yashin is saying now you're chayav nefarshas challah. So when you bake it into
cut
up a piece, yeah, give it to a kohen. I'll take it. Kohen cut it. Okay, my kids will take it. Okay, so the thing is like this. You have to remember if you think that noodle kugel is chayav mafreshes challah, that's what we're going with. You're making an assumption that the finished kugel is chayav mafreshes challah. Well, if you think noodle kugel is chayav mafreshes challah, who is the case that chayav mafreshes challah? Who is the one who is being mafresh challah? Was from an egg noodle company that was owned by a yid. I told you a few minutes ago. If the egg noodle company is owned by a yid, when they're mafresh challah, they're not just doing it according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. They're not doing it only according to Rabbeinu Tam. They're doing it even according to the Rash. Okay, so Rabbi Yashin said, maybe it's true in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe if you buy a generic Israeli company that makes noodles for the whole Israel, maybe those people are not doing the kavanah to make kugel. You could argue that. But for us, for sure, this point Rabbi Yashin is saying is, it wasn't chayiv then, it's only chayiv now. Bukhari, it's not correct. Which is, he's saying, because then you only did it for a bit of time. It's not true. If I'm buying Kemach noodles and I say they were mafresh at the factory, why was Mr. Kemach mafresh at the factory? Because the yid owned it back in the factory, and since he's making it for Jews, who are all going to be making it afterwards, even the Rash held that you have to be Mafresh Challah. So when he was Mafresh Challah back in the factory, that's for sure, that was good enough for me also. So this Rabbi Yashin, you only did it for Rabbeinu Tam. No. For us, the only case that we have to be Mafresh Challah on noodle kunk, on the kugel, is only in cases with in the dough stage, it was being made for Yidden. But in that case, when it was being made for Yidden back in the dough stage, even the Rash would have helped it was Chayav Mafresh Challah again, if this is Lechem, and therefore I do not have to be Mafresh Challah.